This is Nachyomi, Sefer Melachim Bet, chapter 15. Azariah, also known as Uzziah, reigns in Yehuda and continues the tradition of his fathers, serving Hashem but not dismantling the private altars. His rule is relatively uneventful. However, at the end of his career, he is stricken with leprosy, or tzara'at, and his son Yotam assumes leadership while his father is still alive. Meanwhile, in the kingdom of Israel, the dynasty established by Yehu comes to an end after four generations, just as the prophet predicted, and is followed by a great deal of instability, rebellions, and a succession of military coups. Zechariah, son of Yerovam II, is assassinated by Shalum ben Yavesh, who is himself killed after only 1 month of rule by Menachem ben Gadi. Menachem conducts an aggressive and violent campaign against Tifsach and reigns for 10 years. During his rule, Pul, king of Assyria, dominates the region. Menachem levies a heavy tax on the population of Israel to pay Assyria a large bribe, essentially buying Israel's independence from Ashur. After the death of Menachem, the throne is inherited by his son Pekahiah. 2 years later, Pekahiah is assassinated in a coup orchestrated by his own captain, Pekah ben Remaliahu, and a group of 50 men. He rules for 20 years until he is killed by Hoshea ben Elah, who then rises up to power. 2 years into the reign of Pekah, Yotam assumes leadership of the kingdom of Yehuda. He is a righteous king who adheres to the way of Torah, with the notable exception of allowing private altars to continue operating in his kingdom. Yotam does, however, contribute to the beautification of the temple by building its upper gate. There are international tensions at the borders of the kingdom that threaten the security of the country, but are, for the most part, held at bay during this time. The reason for Azariah or Uzziah's leprosy is not mentioned in the Book of Melachim. In Sefer Divrei HaYamim, we are told that the king became arrogant as a result of his many successes, which he attributed to his close relationship with the Almighty. He therefore attempted to usurp the role of the Kohanim and to offer incense in the Beit HaMikdash, something strictly forbidden to ordinary Israelites. He's discouraged from pursuing his ill-conceived goal and reminded of its inconsistency with the laws of the Torah, but ignores all the warnings and is only stopped when leprosy erupts on his body. While the king is expected to protect, support, and promote the service of Hashem, it's not for a human ruler to decide who is worthy of serving in the capacity of the priesthood or the kehuna. Like Yerovam the First, who arrogated to himself the position of Kohen Gadol and appointed an array of priests for his illicit altars, Uzziah sought to merge the realms of the political and the religious. By commandeering the temple service in this way, Uzziah was neglecting his duty to subordinate his kingship to the kingdom of Hashem, and instead was subordinating the holy temple to his own dominion, as if it were a conquest of his. It's noteworthy that Sefer Melachim does not offer us these details, instead merely commenting on Uzziah's early retirement from public life. Apparently, the emphasis in this chapter is not on the particular failings of Uzziah, who in these respects was not that much different from the other decent kings of Yehuda. The theme of our chapter is the stark contrast between the kingdom of Yehuda and that of Israel. In Yehuda, there's an evident stability and continuity in governance, even when a king is put out of commission prematurely, as Uzziah was. In Israel, by contrast, even when the kingdom is passed from father to son, the outcome is always tenuous, and the balance of power fragile. Once again, with idolatry and assimilation come rampant violence, lust for dominance, and needless bloodshed.